Welcome to the Music of America podcast, where every week we visit a different state in America and meet a different guest in the music industry. Every day, Monday through Friday, we begin in Alabama and we end in Wyoming. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Let's talk music here on the Music of America. The Music of America podcast continues in South Carolina. We're in Charleston, one of my favorite towns. We're going to meet with Julian from Band of Jays. Years ago, I got into an accident at work where I ended up spending the entire month on my stomach while my back wounds were healing. I had scalded and severely burned my lower back. Well, about 2 weeks into my healing, I realized I haven't had a cigarette in 2 weeks, so I quit smoking. Now, that method worked for me, but I don't suggest it for anybody else. So thank goodness we have a company called Laser Therapy South, located just outside of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Since 2003, Laser Therapy South has helped thousands of people quit smoking, reduce stress, and alleviate chronic and acute pain. Laser Therapy South has developed their own unique approach to tackle both the physiological and habitual components of addiction to help you achieve total success. Laser therapy. It's an acupuncture-based treatment that originated in Canada and Europe about 25 years ago. Your success is measured immediately. Laser therapy is instantaneous. Your treatment date is your quit date. The laser is a cold or therapeutic laser. It doesn't produce heat. It doesn't cut tissue. In fact, most clients report feeling more like having had a massage after treatment. Laser Therapy South. www.lasertherapysouth.com, where all of your questions can be answered. Check them out if you want to quit smoking. Laser Therapy South, where being a quitter is a good thing. The Band of Jays is the band, and Justin is our... Okay, if I call you Justin one more time, jump through this microphone and just slap me, okay? You look so much like a guy that I used to know that did plays with me years ago, and his name was Justin. And Julian, Justin, you know. And I'm old and stupid. I always give that disclaimer. So Julian is our guest from the Band of Jays. And is there a Band of Jays? Are there a whole bunch of you in the band named Jay?
Well, okay, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag right off the bat here. Yeah, my name is Julian Volpe. I am the Jay is really my nickname. All my friends call me Jay. That's Band of Jays. Band of Jays is a solo studio project. There are no other people but myself in this band.
And you play all the instruments.
I play all the instruments.
That's so challenging, man. I'm so envious. Like, I would get a whole drum kit. I get old Tom a Rockstar drum kit, okay? And I can do my feet, or I can do my hands. But I cannot, and I can dance, so I've got coordination, but I cannot do the drums. So I can't do that. I can't do that what you guys do. I can do a keyboard, and I don't know how to play keyboards, but I can fumble my way through. I can play guitar. I can sing. I can play bass. I can't do it all. That's amazing.
I call myself a jack of a lot of instruments, but a master of none. I'm really not great on anything. Just kind of play everything, half-assed. That's about it.
What was your first instrument you picked up or played?
First instrument was guitar. That was probably age 12. And then around age 17, in the band I was playing in at the time, I drew the short straw. Our bass player left, I think for college, or was getting ready to leave and had to quit the band. So, I drew the short straw.
Straw had to be the bass player, huh?
Yeah.
Remember the name of the band?
Yeah, it was, that's a great question. That was about almost 40 years ago. So that
You're kidding. Yeah, you don't look that old, dude. Thank you. Or congratulations, whatever.
tell you the truth, I can't really, Breaking Point, that was it.
There Breaking Point, okay.
Breaking Point, yeah.
I just love how, like, 40 years ago, and I've never heard of a band called Breaking Point since, you know? So it's so fun how people come up with ideas. Band of Jays, I've never met a band called Band of Jays. Certainly not what I would anticipate by the name, because I figured it was John, Joey, Jackie, and Jerry. You know,
right. Exactly. Yeah, no, it's and like I said, I just kind of started the thing after the pandemic or during
Band of Jays. So in between Breaking Point and
Band of Jays just started in 2019.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff we can get into in between that. Yeah.
So let's just keep going that way then. After Breaking Point, what happened?
Okay, after Breaking Point, like I said, I kind of drew the short straw, became a bass player. I'm a huge Beatle fan. Grew up on Beatles. That's all I listened to growing up. So I really kind of at that point, if I was going to be a bass player, I said, I'm going to try to emulate Paul McCartney. I play a lot like him. Even play with my thumb. I don't play with my fingers
No
or a
kidding.
pick, with my thumb. Yeah, weird, but yeah. And kind of it's been the history ever since. That's kind of how I've always played. After that, let's see, I was in a cover band called the Uncertainties for most of my early 20s,
Yeah.
mid 20s.
And was all this in Charleston, in the Charleston
Just
area?
all in Charleston, that's right.
Born and
Yep.
raised?
No, I'm born here. I was born in Philly,
Okay.
but moved here when I was just a baby, 2 or 3 years old.
Yeah. That's me in St. Louis. I was born in Pew. I'm the only one of my out of my five brothers and sisters. They were all born in St. Louis in the same hospital. I was the oddball. I was born in Peoria, Illinois.
There you
But raised in St. Louis most of my life. See, I get it.
go.
And so you did a cover band for a while, was at
Almost all my life, that's all I did was covers. Every band I played in seemed to be a cover band. I did a, like I said, the Uncertainties was the cover band probably up through my 20s. Then in my 30s, me and my best friend, we started a Beatles tribute band.
Okay.
And that was Sergeant Submarine.
Oh. See, I was going to go with the Day Trippers,
Yeah, that's a great one. That's a great name there. Dang, why didn't we think of that? So anyway, Sergeant Submarine, we did that for probably 20 years.
Wow.
That was off and on band that we did, when because all of us were doing other projects. That was just when we could get a really good gig, and then we would get together, rehearse. As you know, Beatles songs are not that easy, especially once you get to, the mustache stage and past.
Yeah. And it was just two of you too, right?
Well, no, this was a full band.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you said it was just the two of you get. Oh, you the two of you got
So,
together and started the.
yeah, the two of us
Got
got
it.
together, started this band. Yeah,
Okay.
but we got a keyboard player to do all the horns and strings. We got a guy that played really good slide that could emulate George very well.
Wow.
I kind of handled the Paul parts, and my friend Frank handled the John part. So it worked out pretty well.
You did it for 20 years?
Did that for 20 years. Yeah, just stopped
Wow.
doing. About 2020, 2021, I think was our last show.
Yeah.
But that was a lot of
What
fun. We did
was the
the,
biggest, I guess the biggest venue that you played?
oh, probably, we did a Beatles festival, that's out Midwest. You may have heard of it. Abbey Road on the River. It's a festival, Beatles festival they do every year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to say it was somewhere in Illinois we played, but yeah, it was a huge stage for thousands of people. They were all Beatle fans, and it was nothing but just incredible Beatle bands, Beatle tribute bands, all playing this festival. So you got to hear just all, the best Beatle cover bands from around the nation, or really the world. It was quite a big deal.
Do you miss it? Because with your passion being the Beatles and
I
doing it
do
for.
miss that. I do miss that, but it's weird. We kind of ran it into the ground.
Oh, okay.
And we were playing everywhere towards the end a lot more than we really should have. And by the end, we're playing like strip mall bars, standing on the floor, coming up to us, asking us to turn it down and,
Yeah.
stuff like no fun.
Yeah, that's not fun. I've been those done those shows before where you get, in fact, one of my commercials that we do for Bill Landry, Landry Amps, is just about that you're setting up and you finally get just the right tone, and then the manager comes up and says, yeah, some of our patrons are saying you're a little too loud. Could you turn it down? And you lose all of that. You lose that tone, and it's just you just want to shoot
That
somebody.
bite that you're getting right there,
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
his amp called the Lexi is designed just to play those lower tones without losing the volume. So that's my free plug for you, Bill. Okay, we'll settle up some other point. So, all along, had you dabbled in songwriting yourself and played Smash That?
here and there, yeah, a little bit, not too much. Like I said, it wasn't until we'll back up a little bit. Somewhere probably about 15 years ago or so, I joined a pretty serious band called the Fire Apes. And they were an original band, the power pop kind of band, the music that I absolutely love. And this guy that was the band leader that wrote everything was an incredible songwriter. His name's John Seymour. and just wrote the most amazing songs, had the most incredible voice, play guitar amazingly, everything. It was the perfect thing. So that was kind of my introduction into like the how great original music is. And getting to play, we played all over. That band actually toured for a while. We played, up and down the East Coast from
Oh, no
Florida to,
kidding.
yeah. And we played some pretty good shows in New York. I could never remember any of the venues that we played at,
Right.
but it was just a big deal to play in New York City. We had a tour
Sure.
bus.
Yeah.
It was a real, it was a neat thing for sure. And that's kind of what the bug was for me. That was like, I want to kind of get out of this cover business and maybe
Right.
do stuff. But I'd only written probably three or four songs at that point in my life.
And then what?
And
And
then
then,
a big change for me was, like I said, around COVID.
I was going to say, then COVID hit, yeah.
Yeah, I said, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna buy a Mac. I'm gonna bite the bullet. I'm gonna learn how to do this. I'm a network engineer, so I get the computer side of it pretty well.
Right.
Got the Mac, kind of had to go through the learning curve of a Mac versus a PC. But once I got past that and got pretty good with Pro Tools, it took about 6 months. Then I was off to the races,
That's so cool. So a
and
lot of guys start with GarageBand, but you just jumped right into Pro Tools.
I
Never seen
just
it. Never seen it. Never worked with it before because I don't do that. That's not my, it's not my jam, you know? But everybody that I talk to says Pro Tools is it, man.
it really is amazing. That and Logic Pro as
I've heard of
well.
Logic too. Heard of Logic too. Yeah. Cool.
Those two things pretty much do anything.
So post-COVID, you're writing your own, you're learning Mac, you're learning how to use Pro Tools, and then when did you start just doing just your own stuff? And did you produce a whole bunch of stuff or one or two songs or what?
Well, it just kind of started out. My very first album was called, oh, there it is right there, Decadent Rituals. I had to look at a poster. And that was in 2020. And that it was really bad, but I released it. Just because I was excited. I was like, wow, I'm gonna have my own stuff, on the internet, people be able to stream it. But no one did, thank goodness, because it was bad.
Thank goodness nobody.
I had a couple of good songs on it. So and a buddy of mine, Frank, turned me on to this guy named Steve Turnage. This is in 2021 probably. And this guy is a straight up genius. He masters all of my stuff, but he's just an audio genius when it comes to everything. He kind of helped me fine tune the way I recorded, the way I outputted, did the output and sequencing of the music that I was doing in such a way where then he could take it and really make it sound amazing. So he pitched me to a guy named Tom that owns Green Monkey Records.
In town.
So, yeah, no, not in town. No, this is all on the West Coast.
Oh, really? Okay.
So yeah, so Tom at Green Monkey Records got a hold of my stuff, listened to it, liked it, said, hey, let's get you on our label. So after that, I did a second album called Macro Blast, the album that's out right now. That actually came out on vinyl. He loved it. He loved the stuff that I was working on, said, we'll do vinyl, we'll do a digital release. And that record actually did very well. I wound up winning one of the songs I won. What's the title here
Like an
exactly?
ISO award or something.
It's the Indie Music Channel. I don't know if you've heard of
Okay.
them.
No, there's a few, but I don't
Well,
know
yeah,
them
but
all.
that actually really made things take off. I was on that radio show and I noticed like it would air on Tuesday nights, and after Tuesday, after they would air my song, my Spotify would go crazy, like Wednesday and Thursday, just many plays. So I wound up winning an award, Best Rock Artist for that for 2023.
Wow,
And
congrats.
yeah, that was a pretty big deal for me. And yeah, they sent you a nice big trophy and everything. It was
Oh,
pretty big.
fun. What song
But
was
what
it?
you get out of it is just the airplay. It plays on all these radio stations. And then of course it's over the internet, but tens of thousands of people listen to it.
That's pretty
Maybe
cool.
it's pretty big. And yeah, really, once I got on that, everything started to take off.
Are you able to leave your engineering job, or is it not that
No,
lucrative?
it's still not like that. It's still
Okay.
hobby stuff. You know, I mean, you spend a lot of money on all the gear, first
Right,
off.
right.
And it's never ending. You're always upgrading and buying something new, and you're buying guitars, and you need this, and you need that, and you want this, you want that. But no, that was kind of the beginning. And now I'm on my third album. I'm getting ready to release that May 3rd. That's
Okay.
called Brand New Heirlooms.
And the
And
songs we're going to hear today are all from that. Is that correct?
off of that, right? That's
Okay.
correct.
I kind of thought the way you were talking about that song, I thought maybe might want to sneak that one in there, though, when they get you all the Spotify hits. Well, let's talk
Oh,
about the first one from the new album. That it's called You Knew It, right?
that's right.
And who's the you and what is the it?
Well, you knew it. It's kind of a funny song. It's about, again, I probably don't want to give too much away, but it's okay. Not everybody. Well, this song is about substance abuse, about somebody
Oh.
that I, being a musician, a lot of my friends have substance abuses. So, you know, it is what it is, but this song is about that. It's just a song about trying to get over it and all the little innuendos about it, you know, like, you know, you hide it, people hide it, but then other people in the band, you know, we see it, but we all pretend that we don't see it. It's kind of
Yeah.
just a weird cryptic song about that, but
Did
basically
you
substance.
ever hear the Mick Jagger joke about all of that? He says
What's new?
we go into rock and roll for the sex and the drugs. Now we take the drugs so we can do the sex and the rock and roll. It's a joke, but it's also kind of sad because
Right.
there's a certain glamour to that that we were raised in, our culture was raised in, and I guess that's one of the things we passed on to the generations past us, that whole how to glamorize that whole thing. But addiction's not pretty. It's not a
No,
pretty thing, you know.
not a pretty thing, and there's a lot of it, you know, unfortunately,
Yeah.
there's a lot of it in the music industry.
Well, you address it in your song, You Knew It. We're going to hear it right now. The Band of Jays from Charleston, South Carolina, here on the Music of America podcast, the song, You Knew It.
Down too long, the feeling is a destitute.
You knew it. Band of Jays from Charleston, South Carolina. Our guest here today on the Music of America podcast. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. You know, I've got this custom-made, handmade acoustic guitar I've named Margaret. With the tonal quality of a name-brand high-end guitar, this guitar fits my hand perfectly with a mahogany neck. It slides and glides so easily when I play. But what I love most about it is the low-end sustain. Well, she was built for me by Joe Mendel of Joe Mendel's Frets. It's a maple bridge and fretboard, a veneer zircoat headstock, but I think it's the spruce body that really gives it its resonance and its sustain. It's a beautiful-looking, beautiful-sounding guitar, all custom-made for me by Joe Mendel at Joe Mendel's Frets. www.joemendelsfrets.com. Look him up. Have him build you a guitar. You'll love it. Guitar was your first love, but is it still your biggest love, Jay? Julie? Yeah. Everybody calls you Jay, so I'm just going to call you Jay, right?
That's fine. Jay is totally fine. That's what everybody calls me.
Yeah.
Guitar probably is my first love. It's the easiest, too, to write a song on, you know. That or piano, actually. I take that back. Piano probably is the easiest to write a song on, but yeah, I'm the most familiar probably with guitar, but I actually played bass better only because I did that professionally. I was forced to, but enjoy the guitar more, but probably find it easiest to write on the piano.
I see you gesturing a lot with your right hand, so I'm guessing you're not fully Paul McCartney because Paul's a lefty.
Yeah, he's a lefty, right? I'm not exactly.
Okay, because that would really be cool if you
that would be cool, yeah.
You know,
especially standing in the band where you know doing the harmonies, you got the
something when you My brother and I were talking a couple of weeks ago, and when McCartney, actually, it's ironic, it's about Paul McCartney, when Band on the Run came out again, and I think it was late January, early February of this year, they did Underdubbed, and it was the Band on the Run album without all the bells and whistles.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so he said it really sounds good, and it could have been released like that, and people would have bought millions of copies of it. So the question he had was this, and I'll ask you because this is what you do. When is the song done?
Wow, that's an incredibly great question.
Isn't it? I love him for that. It's going to be one of the best questions on my podcast.
That's a good one. I never. I listen to stuff, and after it's done, it's been mastered, it's out, it's released, and I'll go, oh, I wish I would have done this different or that different. I will sit there and I'll pick a song apart and never end it. It's almost like a reverse death. It's like, you know, calling the time of life. You just literally have to call it and go, I'm done. I'm done messing with this. I'm going through that right now. A brand new song I'm working on. I've literally been picking this thing to death. It should have been done probably like a week ago.
Uh-huh.
I've probably put 10 more hours into it. Now I feel like I just need to undo everything I've done and go back to the one that I did a week ago because you just start messing with it and then it starts to lose that coolness that it had at first. But then you know, you'll hear things that you wish you've done differently. And it's a weird thing when you don't play live and it's all you have is the recording aspect. Yeah, you want it to be as perfect as possible, but nothing is.
I have some cats on from Oklahoma, and they have a phrase called, they say, don't chase the bear.
Yeah.
And it means like when you get to that point, stop chasing the bear. Just stop.
Yeah.
When you're at that point, you're there. And the one guy says, well, I know when we're done because he tells me to stop doing another take.
I wish I had that, yeah, but it's just me, myself, and I, so I just kind of... I'm living in my head going, oh, this thing's never going to be done.
Another good question. I love to ask this. And the answer is always both. But I want to hear how you approach it. What comes first, the lyric or the song, the music?
For me, that's easy. Song.
The music. Okay.
Yeah, the music always.
Really? Okay.
Always. Yeah. The lyrics are last. I almost wait for the song to be almost done. As far as structurally, not all the bells and whistles, but structurally done, and let the song kind of tell me what it feels like, and I'll kind of write something appropriate. I might have a topic that I want to write about, but yeah, the song definitely dictates the lyrics.
The Genesis song Abacab, you know, is the A, the B, the A, the B, the A, the C. So when the Abacab is done, then you can add the lyrics, right?
Correct.
So it's like you got to make the batter and cook the cake before you put on the frosting.
Yeah, for me, that's just how
Yeah.
I do it. There's some people, you know, a lot of people, probably most people, just sit there, you know, and they'll write it all almost together. You know, they'll get the song going on the guitar, whatever, the piano, but that, you know, they'll kind of do it all together. I never have done that. I've never been able to just sit down and just hammer out a song, start to finish, words.
Being a Beatles fan, you'll appreciate this. All My Lovin', the song All My Lovin', the first song that John and Paul wrote where they wrote the lyrics first.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just heard that. Well, just heard that over this past year or whatever. But I thought that's kind of cool because they would approach it with noodling around on guitar and bass. And, hey, what do you think of this? Hey, Mike, what do you think of that? Huh? Well, if we did this, John, we'd, you know. But which of them or they came up with the lyric, "Close your eyes and I'll kiss you, tomorrow I'll miss you." And they built a whole song on that. And then from there, they came up with the music. And it was one of their first big, you know, big top hits. I love that.
That's a great one, too. That's a wonderful one. Yeah. In fact, the Beatles, so instrumental in my life. I'm a fan of harmonies. I love I love to layer harmonies, sing harmonies. I was always the harmony guy in the band. Kind of everybody would look to me, go like, "What's my part? What's my part? What do we sing?" So I've always been the harmony guy. And I remember not even knowing what harmonies were when I was really, really young. And my best friend, it was the Beatles. And it was, what song was it? Oh, If I Fell, the Beatles.
Yeah.
And my friend called me up because we always knew, like, when the Beatles were singing, sometimes it sounded different. It sounded good, but we didn't quite understand it was two people singing. And so I remember my best friend calling me up on the phone. This is like, gosh, early 80s. And he goes, "Oh my God, I understand what's going on here. Why they sound so good sometimes." And I was like, "What?" He goes, "They're singing the same lines, but in different notes." You know, we were just kids, you
Right,
know,
right, right.
loving music. And I remember rushing over to his house. We'd put on the Beatle record and we, you know, put on If I Fell. And he showing me, like, "Listen, this one's going, you know, if I fell in love with you, you promised to." And then the high one, you know, and we finally got it. It was literally like a eureka moment for me. Just,
oh, I'm hearing it right now. If you take my hand,
yeah.
So the one is singing down and the one singing up.
Yeah, but it's so clear in that song.
Yeah.
It just really opened both of our eyes. And we were just, from that point on, we hit the ground running with harmonies. Just everything we did, we would pick out the harmonies and everything, the different voices. But it was really just a monumental point in my life when I discovered, holy crap, they're singing two different parts, you know, the same line, but differently. Just, it was amazing for me.
One of my favorite scenes of watching a show of a concert were the Eagles when they would get together before a show and they stand around in a circle, no guitar, or one guitar and just hit an open chord, like hit the D or whatever. And they would do Seven Bridges Road.
Yeah.
They would listen to each other. And that's all you have to do. You just have to listen to each other. Because when you're out on stage and you're spread out, you know, 50 feet so apart,
thank
it
God
really
for
is. But you got to train your ear to hear that stuff. And boy, I'll tell you what, I get goosebumps every time I see that. I'm like, just look at how magical they are. Here's a band that that I never really thought about harmonies until my cover band tried to do some of their work. And I just, ironically, were just in St. Louis back, I guess, March, first weekend of March, a postponed concert that they rescheduled. Three Dog Night. Yeah, Eli's Coming, Joy to the World, Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog, but the more intricate stuff, you know.
Joy to the World. Oh, the boys and girls.
Mama Told Me Not to Come. Listen to the harmonies in there, you know. It's just
amazing harmonies, that's right.
Yeah, and I always wanted to do their music or do something like By the Grassroots, but, you know, I've got a real strong vocal training, and, I was the front guy, and our lead guitarist could sing or play, but he had a hard time doing both. And the bass player, one of my best friends, and God love him, sorry, John, but, you know, he wants to sing. So solo, each of us could do something. When we try to blend, it's like putting three cats in a blender, you know?
Right. I've done so many bands like that. Trust me, I know.
Yeah. So one of the cool things I do about this in this podcast, because I don't know most of the artists until we get to talking, right? And we talk about, here's what the podcast is, here's what you do, send me three songs so we can talk about them. So they'll send me their songs, and a lot of times I'll see a title and say, oh, that looks familiar. So the next song we're going to talk about, there were a couple of songs that are titled Thank You. The one that comes to mind is certainly not this one. And that was Sly Stone, Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself, you know. But there was another one that said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't remember who did it, but that's how it was, just over and over and over again. Thank you, like, please, thank you, be done with the song. So is this thanking you to your support system, to your fans? Is it somebody?
Thanking my adult daughter.
Yeah?
Like, yeah. You know, you always tell your kids you love them, mm-hmm. you're proud of them. But I thought, like, you know, she's 32. She's got a kid, so I'm a grandfather now, which is really good.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And she's three. So, but this kid did everything right. And, you know, she went to college. She moved to Seattle from Charleston to Seattle for about 5 or 6 years.
Wow.
Got a really, really amazing job in her field of, you know, that she went to school for. Then she moved back. She got pregnant, had a baby, moved back home, her and her husband, and they live here now. But she still has this tremendous, tremendous job out west. Mm-hmm. She's doing it remotely. And she's just done everything right. And I just kind of thought, like, you know, I've always told her I'm proud of her and I love her and all that stuff, but I've never said thank you for just doing everything right.
Doing it right, so, yeah.
Yeah, and she's set up now. I can pass away. I know that she's going to be fine. And that's, it's a huge relief, especially knowing now that she has a daughter, a granddaughter, my granddaughter,
mm-hmm.
that she's going to be fine. She's, you know, she doesn't need anybody. She's 100%, if she needed to be, self-supportive, and it just makes me feel amazing. And I just wanted to thank her. So I just said, I'm going to write a song about that.
I totally get that. I have a quarterly dinner date with my youngest daughter, you know, just to make sure we just get together. And her husband, the life they've built together is fabulous. And my oldest daughter runs about five of her own businesses, you know. She's just an independent woman, strong woman. She empowers other women, you know, in her field. She goes to her job, helps support women entrepreneurs. And she's all over the country. And then my son, my oldest kid is my son, and he just took a job. He left, he's an accountant. He just left a job at the end of last year that was a solidified, good, on the track for partnership type of thing to become a chief financial officer for a big refrigeration truck company. He's set for life because he knows what he's doing, and they love him, and he loves what he's doing. And his kids, my grandkids through him, they're all set. And I'm just, thank you, or I'm proud of you. Thank you probably just says it so much better. So if I steal your song, I'll give you credit.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's just, and isn't that a great feeling to
it
know,
really,
like,
is.
I just couldn't imagine the other way around where, you know, you're going to constantly worry about your kid, and especially, you know, like what are they going to do if I'm gone? And I know a lot of my friends that have kids that, you know, or not a lot, but a couple that have kids like that, that, you know, troublesome, and they worry about them. And I just think, like, wow, thank you. I don't have that problem. I, you know, you're going to be fine, and I don't have one less thing to worry about.
That's something. Love it. Yeah. The song called Thank You, Band of Jays from Charleston, South Carolina. We'll play for you right now here on the Music of America podcast.
Gone again. You grew up and moved away.
Band of Jays, thank you. Here on the Music of America podcast, you meet, you fall in love, you commit to each other. That's almost the easy part. Somehow after 2 years or so, though, things begin to be challenging. Emotions and flair have waned. You disagree more, feeling like disillusioned at times. This period of disappointment can last a long time, even years. This usually comes when couples seek out a therapist to help each other learn better communication skills. 2 years after forever, a relationship workbook is dedicated to help couples find that effective communication. This guidebook, sort of a how-to book, teaches you some skills to learn about communication deficiencies that likely exist, but better, it offers exercises to improve those skills and be better communicators, better partners. 2 years after forever, it's not a self-help book. It's a workbook. You have to do the work. But if you do these exercises together, apply the lessons learned, you will absolutely see a difference in all your relationships, particularly lasting into the future, like forever. 2 years after forever. www.2yearsafterforever. Also available at Amazon today and forever. Julian, our guest from Band of Jays, the solo performer of this entire band. How many instruments on your most complicated production do you play?
Oh, just, well, you know, the keyboards, which could be anything, which is great. That could be a string, you know, anything. Five instruments, I suppose.
Well, elements, we'll call them elements then, because like keyboards, right, you can play strings, you can play horns, you can play drums, all on it. So how many elements of music do you have in your most complicated piece?
Oh, probably 10 different elements, I would say.
No kidding. Yeah. Do you harmonize your voice too? Do you do harmonies with your, because we were talking about harmonies earlier.
That's my main thing. That's what I love to do.
Okay.
Listen to my stuff. It's literally everything is layers and layers of harmony. Think Queen Jellyfish
No, it's so funny you said Queen, because I just rewatched Bohemian Rhapsody last week, probably the fourth time, but it's just so clever how they just do it more and bigger, better, more and bigger, better. And they just kept pushing themselves, and they're just geniuses. Their work, their body of work is just brilliant. You know,
it really is. And yeah, that's another big influence of mine too. Queen, they're just, you know, how could they not be? All those 70s bands, you know, were amazing. Foreigner, goodness.
Yeah, no kidding.
Foreigner, like, oh my God. I've been listening to some Foreigner lately, and just, yeah, the older you get, the more you appreciate music. And it's just, I'm hearing things that I never heard before, and you're just getting blown away by like how great the singing, the harmonies were, great players they were. And you don't have bands like that today. You just don't. I mean,
yeah, you got solo artists. That's a shame. Well, your last song, Sunshine In, I'm going way back in time, but in the Flintstones cartoon, when that was on, Pebbles and Bam Bam had their own band, and the song they did was called Let the Sunshine In.
Really?
Yeah. So there's a challenge for you to look up Pebbles and Bam Bam as little babies, and they sing the song, so let the sunshine in, open up your heart. Anyway.
Really? I hope I didn't steal it from them, you know, subconsciously. Maybe I had that deep in my subconscious.
Probably past any kind of public domain issues, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, hopefully I'm clear on that.
Yeah, that's too funny. So tell me about this then. Sunshine, and it's sun, S-U-N, so it's not about your male offspring.
Right. It's about the sun, the big ball of fire in the sky. This song's really just about positive energy and negative energy. This is a song really about, like, sometimes something will get me in a bad mood and I'll have this negative energy. And till I straighten that out, everything that I do is terrible. You'll bump your knee or stub your toe, your car won't start. Just negative energy, really, in the universe, I believe, like when you're resonating at a low frequency like that, just bad things are happening. You're bringing them to you. And this song is literally about realizing that, stopping yourself, opening the curtains of the universe and letting the sunshine in, letting the high vibrations come in, and everything turns around. And that's
so cool. That's so cool. So 70s.
Yeah. Really.
It really is. We're going to give it a listen then. It's called Sunshine Inn, Band of Jays from Charleston, South Carolina, here on the Music of America podcast. Sunshine Inn with the Band of Jays here on the Music of America podcast. And Julian, see, I didn't call you Justin that time. I learned after all this time. This is the part of the show where I just get to shut up and you get to talk as much as you want. We call it shameless self-promotion. So tell us, the listener, how we can find you, help you, support you, buy your merch, buy your music, go see shows, do whatever. What's coming up with you in April through the summer, and where do we find and support you?
Okay, thank you so much, Tom. Let's see here. Shameless self-promotion. Bandofjays.com. That's where you'll find everything. You can get to anything and everything from that website. I've got a brand new album coming out in May 3rd, to be exact. Okay. Very excited about this. It's going to be released on vinyl, LP, and digitally. It's 11 tracks of power pop. It's something I've worked on really, really hard for the past year, and so it's all done. A big shout out to Steve Turnage. If without this guy, I would not be able to do what I do. He literally takes my dull, lifeless tracks and brings them to life. So, big shout out to Steve. Huge, huge help. Part of the team, really.
Yeah.
My. What else? Let's see.
Do you play out? Do you do live performances?
I don't do any live performances. I haven't played a live gig since I got kind of tired of 2021, I think. And then I decided I'm just going to do this, just do the recording thing for now. I'll probably get back to it. I don't know. Maybe in a year or two, I might go back to live playing. But yeah, right now it's just all this stuff.
Because it used to be the thing. You get a new album out and I got to go tour and promote it, you know?
Yeah, but it'd be tough because literally, I mean, all the harmonies, I would have to find four or five lead singers, pretty much to be able to cover all the harmonies. It's
Right.
literally, it's many layers deep, everything.
Yeah. Say what you will about those voice switchers. You know,
oh, yeah.
I've yet to find one that just does exactly what I want it to.
Yeah, those are, I mean, they're great, but yeah, you won't get the same thing.
Yeah. So then just hear your music. Now, the songs, we should say this again, too, because I think we mentioned it once, but the new album coming out in May, all of the songs we heard today are all from the new album.
That's correct. That is correct. Yep.
That's really cool.
Go ahead.
When's the release date again? May 5th, you said?
May 3rd. It's actually the first Bandcamp Friday.
Okay.
So it's Bandcamp Friday. So it'll be actually on sale that day as well. But like I said, okay, you'll be able to order the vinyl as well from that website. And all those links are on my website, Band of Jays, BANDOFJAYS.com.
Just like it sounds.
It's like it sounds.
Like Band of Brothers, except Jays.
Exactly.
So I've been watching like the whole series Band of Brothers, The Pacific, and Masters of the Air. It's it's a trilogy. I've watched Band of Brothers. My daughter and I, my youngest daughter and I, used to watch Band of Brothers either every Memorial Day, you know, or 4th of July. We'd just sit down and plow through it on the weekend, you know.
Great series, right?
Great.
I mean,
yeah. Julian, thank you. Good fortune. Let us know. Send me an email. Text me. Remind me when the album's out, and I'll put something on our website. Okay.
I absolutely will. Thank you so much for this time. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Julian Volpe. Okay. Julian Volpe, the Band of Jays from Charleston, South Carolina, wrapping up South Carolina tomorrow with a band called Dazer right here on the Music of America podcast. You've been listening to the Music of America podcast. If you like today's show, please go to the website at www.musicofamericapod.com or our Music of America podcast Facebook page. Like us and follow the show and episodes. We tally the votes of all our shows, and the most listened to shows will be rebroadcast on our best of shows at the end of the season. I look forward to having you with us again and listening to the Music of America podcast.